We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast once again here on Tuesday, August the 1st. Can you believe it? Summer is already cruising along. It'll be just a little bit over a week before the kids go back to school. And that sound you just heard was parents rejoicing and children not rejoicing. So anyway, that's coming up. And so do start praying for your kids, praying for their teachers, praying for the school administrators, and all of the situations that they face, that they would make godly decisions, that they would have an encounter with God. And if nothing else, pray for the godly teachers that are in school, that their light would shine as brightly as possible and make as big an impact on kids as they can. We are rejoicing. We had our largest group of youth and children go to camps this summer that we've ever had. We had 15 over two different camps, and it created some challenges as far as transportation issues go, but we managed to get them all there and get them all back, and so we are very thankful for that. So we want to let you know that tomorrow night we resume our kids' services on Wednesday night. It is a back-to-school bash, if you will, a celebration, and it's a football themed event. So if you come representing your favorite football team, you can wear your favorite jersey and all that sort of stuff. There's going to be food and activities for the kids, and it's just a large group event. They're not breaking up into their individual classes until the following week, and we're going to try and send them back to school in the right way. So with that being said, we will be having our adult Bible study tomorrow as well, and that will begin at 7 o'clock and end at about 7:45-ish therein. So we are looking at revival. We've seen a number of people give their heart to Jesus this year or over the summer, and we are very excited about that and looking for that trend to increase, not to decrease. I don't know about you, but I don't want to show up at the throne empty-handed. I don't want to show up at the throne all by myself. I want to show up and there be a large group of people that said, Pastor Bob, he represented Jesus well and shared with us the words of eternal life, and we decided to give our life to Jesus. That's really what I look forward to. I look forward to the celebration of all of the souls that missionaries have impacted, men, women, boys, girls, young, old, healthy, sick, rich, poor, from all over the world. Our missionaries literally encompass the globe. We have a wonderful, wonderful team of missionaries, and we're very thankful for what they do for kingdom impact. So we are looking at this concept of joy. Now, I need to tell you that here a couple of weeks ago, I was just kind of walking around fellowshipping with the Lord and had this impression, this mental image of me returning back to the wells of salvation and drawing out joy. That's the only way that I can describe it. I was like in an atmosphere of dry conditions, and there was this well of salvation, and I kept being instructed, go back and get another cup, go back and get another cup, go back and get another cup of the joy of salvation. And I spent some quality time with the Lord and just kept doing that. And I want you to know that we're going to be talking about the joy of the Lord, the joy that is the fruit of the Spirit, because when you and I are walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, and abiding in the Spirit, we are going to produce the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God wants you and I to produce fruit. And one of those fruits is the fruit of joy. And so I can tell you that I'm not always upbeat and happy-go-lucky and all of that, but those are short-lived seasons when I'm not. If they go on for very long, then I do just what I told you. We're going to talk about that today. But let's turn in our scriptures this morning to the 16th chapter of John. The 16th chapter of John, and I'm going to begin reading from verse number 16. John 16, 16. It says, "A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, because I go to the Father." Then some of his disciples said among themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he says? A little while. We do not know what he is saying." Can I just stop the reading there for just a moment? And that is, if you and I do not understand something, it is of no value to us to pretend that we do understand. I will also say this. Let me repeat that. If we do not understand something, it does us no good to pretend that we do understand. We need to understand. Too many times in school, kids go on to the next topic not having mastered the previous topic upon which the next topic is built upon. If the foundation of any element of your life is fractured, it is going to have extremely negative consequences. And so I want to encourage you, make sure you understand. Now, misunderstanding, lack of understanding, in the book of Jude, it talks about that there were these people who dared to do things that angels didn't even dare to do. Fallen angels, or God's angels. Let me look over and said, verse number 10 of Jude chapter 1. "But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally, like brute beast, in these things they corrupt themselves." And so that word there is literally the same as blasphemy. Blasphemy simply means to speak evil of. And so there are a lot of times when people have faulty understanding, lack of understanding, or only partial understanding. And if you and I are not careful, then it leads us into speaking evil about things that we do not have an adequate grasp of. So make sure that you guard your tongue in those things. The third principle I want to share with you from this passage in John chapter 16 is this. If you don't understand something about the Word of God, ask God to help you to understand it. Thank God for pastors. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. Thank God for elders and people of great wisdom in the church. And it is okay to go to them and help and get their assistance to help you understand. But the greatest trait that I will ever bestow upon somebody is not explaining their problem to them, or helping them to understand something that they do not understand. My greatest accomplishment will be equipping them to go to Jesus and saying, "Jesus, would you help me to understand this?" The Bible says that the Word of God is spirit, and it is spiritually discerned. Too many times we tell people what to think instead of teaching them how to think. Instead of how to process the Word of God, how to come to understand the Word of God. And so I want to encourage you, if you don't understand it, you're in good company. If you understand everything there is to know about life, then you probably don't understand as much as you think you do. So I just want to help you to begin the process of how do I come to this place of understanding. So, he says in verse number 18, "What is this?" He says, "A little while, we do not know what he is saying." Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." So, let's look at this fruit of joy that Jesus is talking about here. He says that the world will be experiencing rejoicing because of the inability of the body of Christ to have that same type of relationship with Jesus that they had grown accustomed to. Jesus said, "You're going to be looking for me and you won't be able to find me because I'm getting ready to be taken away from you for a little while." Okay, and so nobody likes that. But, you know, I had this thought that came to me here recently. And so I'll just throw it out there to you. You can process it. And that is, a lot of different people are looking to go different places. They're looking to go here or go there, or go here for that reason, or go here for that, for this reason. And I've come to a conclusion that I'm that person as well. Only I'm not looking to go to another place. I'm looking to go to another level. And so I want to encourage you today to say, you know what, God, if there's a transition that is going on here, I know that you are not making this transition to leave me at the status quo. You are making this transition so that we can go to the next level. Remember, Jesus told the disciples it was expedient for them that he went to the cross. It was expedient for us that he was raised from the dead. It was expedient for him to be ascended to the right hand of the Father and the Holy Spirit to be bestowed upon us. It's time that we quit looking at God the Holy Spirit as a liability and realize that he is a priceless gift of God to us, God the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is saying, during that time of transition, and in this next concept here, there's a description about a woman giving birth. And I think back to when my youngest daughter was being born at a birthing center, and the nurse, or I guess it was a nurse, came in and said, is she in transition yet? Speaking about my wife. And I said, "Well, you're asking the wrong person. I don't have a medical degree. I'm not a doctor, and I've never played one on television." And and then she asked if she was getting more uncomfortable, and noticeably more uncomfortable. You see, because transition isn't always a comfortable thing. And Jesus said, "Look, I'm going to go away for a little while. You won't be able to see me, but I'm telling you, a little while later, you will see me again. While I'm gone, the world is going to be rejoicing." When you're in that uncomfortable stage, in that transition stage where God is taking you to the next level, the world is going to be rejoicing because they are only evaluating it from a superficial understanding. They are only looking at it on a surface level, not a substantive level. You've got to understand that God always bewilders the devil. The devil is not smarter than God. God is smarter than the devil. The scripture says that if the principalities and the powers had known what God had in mind, they never would have crucified Jesus. But they didn't have a clue. And I've got good news for you. God is still baffling them, still confusing them to this day. And so while the world is rejoicing, you're going to, a lot of times people are tempted to chase after the group that is going through joy at that particular moment. And so whenever things get a little rough or tumbly or troubled and there's transition going on, sometimes people begin to look for some place that is experiencing some joy, just a happy, happy place. And so as that was going on, if you do that, you're going to constantly be chasing your tail. The Bible says that he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. The world has no enduring reason to rejoice. That's why there are so many people who are trying their philosophy, the world's philosophy, and they're more miserable than they've ever been. But Jesus said that your sorrow was going to be turned into joy. While we were sorrowful, the world was rejoicing, but their rejoicing was going to be turned into sorrow, and our sorrow was going to be turned into joy. So I want to ask you today, are you walking in resurrection joy? The joy of the resurrection. Knowing that right now we do not see things as clearly as we one day will see them. Paul writes that we see things as through a glass darkly, but there's coming a day when we will see with absolute clarity, with unveiled faces, and we are going to behold the glory of the Lord. I'm looking forward to that. Okay? And so Jesus is describing to them, look, you're getting ready to go through a transitional process that is going to result in greater joy than you have at this point in time. You're going to experience the joy of resurrection, the joy of restoration and return. Okay? Then he, in verse number 21, he transitions into this concept of this woman in labor. It says, has sorrow because her hour has come, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. Now, I tell all of the men who I'm have the privilege of speaking to, whenever they are about to become a father, I give them a little piece of practical advice, and that is if you're in there to support your wife during that excruciatingly painful process, I encourage you to do this. Take off your wedding ring. Now listen, don't panic. I'm not saying you take it off, put it in your pocket, and then offer that hand to your wife, because when she begins to go through that horrific pain and begins to squeeze tighter to your hand so that you can help her through that birthing process, you better not wimp out and say, oh, honey, you're hurting my finger because you're squeezing too tight. They're not going to have any compassion for you. They're not going to feel bad because the pain that they are going through is a little bit more intense than a ring just being squeezed down on your precious little finger. So I'm not saying you got to endure the pain as well. I'm just saying, just slip that ring off, slip it on back, you know, back when that process is over. Be there, support your wife. By the way, I will tell you this, that they have some synthetic what is the word I'm looking for? They have some devices that they have created that will cause men to be able to experience just a little bit of what the pain level is like. And guys, I don't care how tough you are, you are not as tough as the women who give birth. And I'm just going to put it out there like that. Grown men wimp out and cry and all of that sort of stuff because it is a painful process. Never underestimate how much pain women go through to bring life into this world. And so here, Jesus is talking about the sorrow of going through labor, but as soon as she has given birth to the child, there is something that takes place, and it says, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. I remind my wife of our firstborn. And, after he was born, she was like, that was so painful. I'm never doing that again. Okay. And so we were a long ways away from her mom, when our son was born. And a little bit later in the day, she was talking to her mother, and I happened to be in the room, and she said, oh, well, the pain really wasn't that bad. And I was like, who are you and what have you done with my wife? I mean, by then she had got to experience the joy. And the joy does something to your memory. You would be lying, and I would be lying, if we didn't say that we had never been through painful process. But God has a joy that will affect our memory. It will cause us to remember the joyful and cause us to forget the painful. And if you haven't experienced that, you need to get to Jesus. Because if you're still dwelling on the hurt and the pain and the suffering, I've got good news for you. Jesus wants to renew your mind so that you will remember the good things, the jubilant things, the joyful things of life. So recently I had a situation, and I just wasn't having, one of those highlight reel seasons in my life. And we always tease my wife, because when she gets really, really happy and she starts to laugh, it's therapeutic. It is therapeutic for everybody in the room. And it doesn't have to be something that is taking place at that point in time. When she gets to laughing, it becomes contagious. And so there were a couple of different things that happened to me recently, and I got to where I was laughing so hard that tears were coming out of my eyes. I was trying to read something, and my eyes were tearing up so bad that I couldn't see, but I couldn't stop reading. And so I'm wiping these tears away out of my eyes, laughing. And you know what? It was therapeutic. It was absolutely therapeutic. Now, what type of joy could cause a person to displace the greatest pain they've ever experienced in their life? What could cause them to dislodge that memory and replace it with pure joy? Here it is: the joy of bringing life into the world. Now, I could talk to you about kids, I could talk to you about grandkids and all of that sort of stuff, but I want to talk to you today about the life-giving joy, or the life-bringing joy that God has for you if you will bring life to your world, bring life to your workplace, bring life to your church, bring life to your neighborhood, bring life to your marriage, bring life wherever you go, and you are going to find that when there is life there, where there's joy, that is going to be unbelievable, that it's going to cause you to say, you know what, instead of dwelling on the pain, I am going to abide in this new level of joy, the joy of being a life giver. Okay. There is a verse. I'm turning over to it right now because I absolutely love this verse. So give me just a second. I didn't come prepared to write this down. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. That last Adam is talking about Jesus, as 1 Corinthians 15:45. So, a lot of times, people are settling for dwelling at an Adamic level, the level of Adam, and that is, I'm alive. I'm alive. And I want you to know, being alive is better than being dead. I don't want to be dead in my trespasses and sin. I don't want to do that. I want to be alive in Christ. But when you and I begin to live in the purpose that God has for us, we are not going to be just content to be alive like Adam. We're going to have the goal of being a life giver that is going to give life at every level, the spiritual level, the emotional level, the mental level, the financial level, the relational level. Missions is about giving life. That's it. We are putting money in an offering to support a missionary who's going to go and bring life to another part of the world. That makes me a life giver when I do that. When I'm on here on the radio, I'm not just sharing a word. I'm sharing words that will hopefully bring life into your life, that will bring joy, that will replace any pain that you are going through. So I want to ask you today, are you a life giver? Because if you are, you're going to experience a joy that evicts the painful right out of your memory banks. You know, I tell a story that Ed Silvoso shared in Brevard County years and years and years ago about him talking to a man who asked to schedule an appointment with him, and he came in and he shared, and Ed said, it was truly one of the saddest stories I ever heard. And he was crying and I was crying. And finally he came to the end of the story, and I asked him, I said, brother, how long ago did that happen? And the man wiped the tears from his eyes and he said, 42 years ago. And all of a sudden, at that point in time, you realize that there needs to be an eviction notice. There needs to be a transition that took place where that man experiences the joy of giving life. And that joy would heal that hurt. Deny the hurt? Deny the experience never happened? No. But say, you know what? That thing can't imprison me in my future anymore. I refuse to surrender sovereignty of my future to the pain of my past. My future belongs to Jesus. God bless you. I pray that you would give life today and you would experience the joy of the Lord. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.